Thanks, Aviana, for the Bible reading. Now, Ephesians 4, verse 1 is the hinge to the whole book. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So it stands right in the middle of the book, and it stands as one great big therefore. You see, the book of Ephesians is so neatly divided. Three chapters about what Christ has done for us, followed by three chapters about how the gospel applies to us. Now, all of that should surely teach us something about the Christian life. Following Jesus means, first of all, knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, what he's done for you. And then flowing out of that, it means being what you are in Christ Jesus, putting into practice the gospel in your life. Now, that means that we need to live that way too. And it means that surely the book of Ephesians teaches us something about the Christian life. You see, some of us are intellectuals. We're kind of doctrine people. We love the first three chapters because it tells us lots of information that we love about the gospel. We love really long words like predestination and atonement. And we love to think about things like that. Tell me more, we say. And if that's you, you need to remember that the last three chapters of Ephesians are really important too. If all we do is fill our heads with the doctrine stuff from the first half of the book, that leads to pride and license. Pride because we think that God has saved us because of our understanding of the gospel. Because then faith becomes like a work, because we start to think that we're saved because of our faith rather than we're saved alone by what Christ has done for us. And faith merely describes trusting alone in Christ Jesus. So if we understand the gospel, there is nothing to get proud about. But equally, a focus only on what we believe, that can lead us very quickly to start ignoring our sin, excusing things in our lives because we don't get round to the application questions. We're not asking, so what? How does this apply to me? So, all you doctrine people out there, the intellectuals who love thinking about stuff, the last three chapters of Ephesians are important. Let's spend time earthing it and applying it, asking, so what? However, it works the other way too. Some of us are turned off by all those long words. In fact, we just want to skip straight to the second half. We want the preacher to begin and end with application. Speak into my life all the time. That's what we want. And if that's you, then you need to take note that Paul begins with three whole chapters about the gospel, of all that Christ has done for us. And he does that first before moving on to application. Because application on its own, if all you have is application all the time, that leads to despair and legalism. Legalism, because starting with application is back to front. Paul says, as we see here in verse 1 of chapter 4, that's the wrong way around. He says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. You have received, you receive the gospel first, and so obedience is a response to what Christ has done for you. It's not earning it in any way. Now, if we get that the wrong way around, either we're going to become proud, those times when we're exercising self-control, or we're going to plunge into despair when we're not. In fact, if it's just application, you're condemning yourself to a rollercoaster life that will just go between arrogance and depression and up and down all the way through. No, if you're that kind of so what person, don't forget the first three chapters of Ephesians. Because those three chapters are so important too. Those three chapters give us the power to change, the motivation to persevere, to keep on, the reason to live for Christ. So let's sum up the whole of Ephesians in these two halves. Number one, know who you are in Christ. Number two, be who you are in Christ. Know who you are in Christ. Be who you are in Christ. So number one, know who you are in Christ. Those three chapters, I've said, they contain wonderful truths. We've seen them throughout the series. God's plan of salvation before the world began, a plan of the Father carried out by the Son. in the power of the Holy Spirit. We saw in chapter 2 how we are all naturally dead in our sins, but we've been made alive by faith in Jesus. That in Christ, both Jew and Gentile are reconciled. We're one body, we're one family in Christ Jesus. Now, all of that is amazing, but as I've worked my way through Ephesians, two things have really caught my eye, not because they're more important than the other things, but because they're things we tend to ignore today. I've noticed, especially, Paul says, that the gospel is corporate and it is cosmic. Chapters 2 and 3 emphasize the corporate nature of following Jesus. God does not save me just as an individual. Rather, I am saved as I join his body by faith. God's plan, as we've seen in chapter 3, for the world, it centers around the church, not just individual Christians. And that's something especially we need to hear in this age of the COVID pandemic. As we watch services online all the time, as we get used to that, that is accelerating a trend already there in culture of Jesus and me. It's encouraging us, isn't it, to just think more and more us purely as individuals, and it's just about me and Jesus. So I think less and less about church, more and more about Jesus and me. And therefore the questions I will be always asking is, well, maybe if I try to follow Jesus, how can I serve Jesus at work? Or what does Jesus mean in my home? Now, those are good questions. Of course they are. But you hear the stress on me and I. They are so individualistic. So that's something worth thinking about in 2021, especially as the pandemic goes on. Practically, how do I show that I belong to the church? What does it mean to serve Christ as part of the church and not just as an individual? But in the Ephesians, not only have we noticed the stress that the gospel is corporate, but also that it's cosmic. That's not cosmic as in Neil the hippie, you know, well, cosmic. And it's not cosmic in the sense of astronomy, stars and planets either. No, I mean cosmic in the sense of everything, all the physical world and all the spiritual world too. Ephesians paints a picture of the gospel on that cosmic canvas, doesn't it? Note the frequent reference to the heavenly realms. As believers, we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. What does that even mean? We're called to engage in spiritual warfare in the heavenly realms. What does that look like? Now, at this point, I think we've got much we can learn from our brothers and sisters from Africa and Asia. You know, because of our colonial past, white British pastors like me, often, certainly in the past, we've been rather patronizing towards immigrants who've moved to this country. You know, we're welcoming, but what we often end up saying is something like this, you know, welcome to our country, it's great to have you, now sit down and let me teach you what the Bible really says. Now, I'm sure there is much that we can teach the world about Jesus. But as I've studied this letter of Ephesians, it has struck me time and time again how much the worldview of your average African or maybe Southeast Asian, how much their worldview is so much closer to the worldview of Paul in Ephesians than the Western world today. You know, Africans, for example, grow up frequently talking about how the spiritual realm can impact the physical world on a daily basis. So why don't we ask them? Let's ask them to teach us. What is all this stuff about the heavenly realms? There is much we have to learn. But then number two, be who you are in Christ. The second half of the letter is so practical too. If I really am all these things that Paul says in chapters 1 to 3 in Christ, chapters 4 to 6 explain how we should live as a result. Take off the old clothes of my old self and put on new clothes of Christ's righteousness. So take off sexual immorality, lying and anger and things like that. And put on kindness and compassion and forgiveness. See, the gospel not only enables us to join God's family, but it also shapes our own families, we've seen as well. So as we apply this, let's think hard. What does it mean to follow Jesus in my marriage? What does Christian parenting look like? What does it mean to be a Christian in my workplace, my relationship with my boss, those I lead? All those questions. Let's think this through and apply it practically to our lives. And as the book finishes, precisely because Christ's victory impacts the heavenly realms, it's a victory in the heavenly realms, that means that we're in a spiritual battle. So let's wage war through prayer in this spiritual battle. Most of all, Paul says, let's stand firm in Christ, in the confidence that we are his. So that's what Ephesians is all about. Know who you are in Christ, and then be who you are in Christ. Live it out. Put it into practice day by day. Okay, that's short summary of Ephesians. That's got lots to think about. I'm sure it's provoked lots of questions and comments. What we're going to do now is we're going to sing a hymn, and then we're going to congratulate Ron and Sheila on 65 years of marriage. And then I'll be back for questions and comments.